Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, dude, are you just tired of like looking into the camera or seeing yourself on camera?
Actually, no, not really. I mean,
right answer, it's, by the way.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you tell me, how much have you been on TV, stage and screen?
Well, I think
up until The Farm.
Oh man, a good amount. You know, of course, I want to do more.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love telling stories in general.
Yeah. But like, how much have you been on the tube prior to getting State Farm and being...
Oh, now is definitely way more than before. Like, everything else I did before was so scattered, you know, where it's just like, you're going job after job.
Yeah. Sometimes even years apart, people don't realize.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're just kind of doing whatever. You're just being like, all right, today I'm this guy or I'm this guy.
Yeah.
And this is something that's so consistent, as well as super close to me. Like, I remember going into the audition and just, you know, reading the sides that we had to do and wanting it to be, you know, close to me or what I thought it was.
Yeah.
I can't lie. That was a little bit of ignorance. I wasn't thinking like, oh, I'm about to play this. I was more so like, oh, this guy seems like he's like this. Like, I would want it to be, you know, this. How would I talk to a family member, a close friend or whatever? You know, we're doing like our first spots were back in the office, and like Jake is there, you know, he's on the other cubicle. So it's like, oh, okay, cool. He's like the new employee.
Yeah.
And he's right there with a guy he knows. So he's like, oh, like, what do I do? Like, guide me, you know?
So you had a good amount of context for that first audition.
Yeah. It was that. And then we did like a bachelor spot. And it was basically just, you know, him helping a guy over some heartbreak. So it felt very like, okay, that's kind of how I feel, you know, in the game of coming to LA too, you know, where it's just like, there's a lot of things I need to learn and know, you know, doing theater is different than film in a way. And like, I don't know, it felt very at home. There are of course times where I was just like, I don't think I'd nail that at all, you know? And
really?
And then they're just like, oh no, thanks, it came bud. Great. Oh, thanks, man.
People don't realize too, and this will be a great, and you know, this will just be one thing we touch on, but like the commercial audition world, I mean, you know, I did it enough to be able to speak about it. You probably got into a healthier, like, consistent grind of where, like, you know, out here, there's so many things to be able to tackle, right? Acting, voiceover, stand-up, sketch, improv, commercial, dance. You know, there's no shortage of opportunities and just avenues to take, right?
Right.
And I felt like, at least for me, you know, it was the commercial auditioning was another grind that you gotta like be fully into and on and committed to and on board with, and having 3 to 4 to 5 hours to, if you're going to Santa Monica and need to get all the way back to Hollywood or north of Hollywood, that might be a big chunk of your day, and you gotta leave at a certain time. And if you don't have a car, you gotta figure out how to get over there and maybe just stay there. And because the only way you could get there was to get a ride, but it was super early, then you're like, oh shit, I'm there at 10. My thing's not till 2, but I'll find ways to keep busy and then do that. So that just became something where I was like, all right, I'm going to put that time into like stand up and sketch and maybe voiceover. Cause I got to a point to where I was like, man, and I want to know how many of these you were going out for when you first got into it, where you were like, oh, I feel like they're picking wallpaper. Like, I can't really do too much to separate myself because it's like, it's a guy who's maybe just given a look, or versus this where I felt like you could really bring a lot of you to it. Right.
Yeah.
How many of those were you doing when you first got going?
I mean, a ton. Like, yeah. I definitely made it where, for me being out here, you know, I was food running for a while too.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. Oh,
so
man.
Right to LA, that was your grind.
Yeah. And there were no agents that wanted me. You know what I mean? It was like, I got there, I was like, oh man, okay, I got the BFA. Like, I've got a degree from my own arts high school. Whoa. Like, I'm going to be okay, you know? And then, you know, coming to LA, it was like, nobody cares, you know, or wants you. And so it just kind of made me feel like, all right, I've got to prove myself. Like, I've got to, you know, learn the new format. Mm. I've got to make myself available for those times. So I didn't last very long at that, you know, food running gig, but commercials in a way kind of saved me because I could submit myself, you know?
And, oh, really?
Yeah, I would submit for myself a lot. And Dina Buglioni, like DB Casting, I'll give this shout out.
Yeah.
She would bring me in a lot. And you know, whenever I got to the callback, she would talk to the clients or the directors and really hype me up there too.
Whoa.
You know, to give me my first bookings that made me feel as if, you know, I was doing something. Like, you don't want to be an actor and do nothing, right. You know? It's kind of like, you know, you got to take it how you get it, you know? And so after that, I was just like, oh, that's kind of the move, and it's quick enough and the schedule can be flexible enough that I can do other things to also pay my bills, you know? And then I just kind of got on a road or on a roll. Like, there was one day I had... Like, my craziest day was 7 auditions in a day.
What
like,
the
yeah,
fuck?
Two
in
of those were theatrical.
No.
These are all different spots. These are all different commercials. And they were all around town.
Did you have
so
a car?
One was, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, right? That was the first thing I got when I got here. Yeah. And I literally had to schedule it out where I was like, okay, so for this one, I'm going to be like 15 minutes early. Because if I get out of there, it's in Santa Monica and I need to go to Culver City for the next one.
Oh,
so, like, it was like Culver City, North Hollywood, Santa Monica, LA. It was like, and then across in LA. So I scheduled my whole day and didn't put like eating in there at all. So
why would
halfway
you?
In I was like, all right, man, I need to be late for this next one because I'm getting dizzy driving.
Yeah.
It's like that was the craziest thing.
This is where I hear my mom's voice in my head, which is always like, you need to put like some Cliff Bars or something in the back, which is not wrong. And she'd always like do that. And I was like, stop fucking telling me what to do.
Doesn't look cool to prep food. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to get that shit on the go.
Yeah, you know
what I mean? Want somebody to buy me food.
I want to struggle through, you know?
Yeah. But so, no, you need it.
Yeah. It's a very adult thing. It's a veteran pro adult thing.
Oh, yeah,
so,
dude.
But yeah, they were just crazy. But I mean, it really helped me to at least feel like I was in a groove and not out here and getting down on myself. You know, when you're not doing anything and just taking classes, those are the hardest days because you're just like, ah, I see everyone booking and like, what do I do?
Dude, those are the hardest days. And those are the days that are like the most instrumental in all of this.
Yeah.
Because it's all the shit that you do, you know, and even to now, right? Just keeping, I mean... You know, some would argue like, all right, you get in this gig now. It's not easy street because now you're like, all right, now like, you know, I'm going to get some more opportunities from the exposure and everything. So now it's even more challenging to just stay on my game and like make sure I'm picking the right things. And then I'm just doing the right things on and off the field to keep the gig going. And then if other things come up like that might conflict, like that I really want to do, like what's that going to look like?
Yeah.
But all that groundwork, it's like. I remember, and you can speak to this, Chicago, right? Where you grew up?
Chicago, yeah.
How many people up until now, and even when you got TV or gigs of note prior to this, you know, for me, it was like, until they saw me on anything, they were just like, so you're still doing comedy? And this would be like five, 6 years in, you know?
Yeah.
Not on TV, movies, anything like that yet. And they're like, I haven't seen your special. Like, well, no, it's like I'm 5 years in. It's going to take a beat, man. You're like, oh, but you're doing it? Well, yes, because it's like, it's, you know, just like anything, you got to put in the work. Oh, yeah, because they just don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
So I'm doing like these open mics. I'm doing these shows. I'm interning in this casting office. I'm just kind of trying to put my feet in all the pools. And yeah, it's going to, you know, who knows when it'll pop. Yeah. Wow. Fucking, well, good luck with that. That's crazy that you didn't make it yet. And it's a fucking, it's a grind. And this, you know, this is why I see you once a year, Greg. But, you know.
Hey, I've got people now that are just like, so when are you going to do movies, man? And I'm like, man.
Wow, dude, it's so funny.
Like, look, I'm trying, okay?
Yeah,
like,
I know,
so
right?
It's a process, like, and you really genuinely don't know your own journey. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of in a mode where, you know, I've got enough credits even before, you know, the Jake gig.
Good.
That makes me feel as a veteran for commercials.
Cool.
But I also have very little credits for everything else. So I'm still curious and learning how to be better, you know? And I'm glad that I'm there, to be honest. Like, I'm glad that I still have the curiosity of wanting that day where I see myself and I'm just like, wow, good job, Kev. You know, and that can, I could be 68 when that happens. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is also exciting, too, to be like, man, I can keep growing all the way to the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
What an advantage, too, to have a gig where you are getting to act, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
yeah.
there's commercial.
Every day. Like,
right? Like,
every day I get to
flex the muscle all the time.
Yeah.
And not only just the flex muscle of being on set, but like working with people that you know, may or may not look up to. Like, mm-hmm. and so having to deal, control your emotions on that. There's so much just shit on set that is like, you can't teach until you do it, man.
Yeah.
Take me back to Chicago. So you're what age when you're just like, what's the first thing you see entertainment business wise, cartoon, comedy, that you're like, fuck, dude, like, what is that all about? How do I do that?
So the first thing I saw that I really enjoyed was really The Godfather. My dad yeah. and I know, right? I'm like a 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid.
I just saw it.
All of The Godfather, really?
The first one, yeah.
Oh,
when I was quarantined in Australia, my dad was like, if I die before you haven't seen the fucking
It's a
Godfather.
Father movie, yeah, for yeah, sure. Yeah. A father wants to show their son this mobster family movie,
of
course. I was
like, Dad, I saw Love and Basketball 3 times in the theaters.
He's Which
like,
is just as good.
I mean, so. In its own right, it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, number two is my favorite, you know, Robert De Niro plays a phenomenal Vito. But yeah, it was really that. And I think, honestly, when I piece it together this last year, I've really been able to piece, you know, my why together. You know, there's certain moments where I'm sure you've even had it where you get like a little like bump and you're like, oh, yeah. And you got like a second of championship fatigue where you're just like, cool, well, like everything's all good. And then you're just like, man, I feel like I haven't worked in a while. Uh-huh. It's like, oh, it's been 4 days. You're like, oh, crap. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want it to die.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So it was really that. And honestly, the coming togetherness, I think, really inspires me to do good stories or stories in that light, you know? Where
the coming togetherness feels, of The Godfather?
Well,
no.
Yeah, I want to be a mobster.
Oh, yeah.
The family aspect of it. Like, I just remember my father and I getting, like, there was a place we would just get pizza and eat, you know, horrible foods and watch The Godfather together, you know? And it would just be like, man, look at this scene. Because he already saw it, of course. Yeah. So he's like extra amped. Like, look at this. You know, it's Marlon Brando. It's Al Pacino.
Breaking it down for you.
These are all these greats, you know? And then from there, you know, I'm thinking about times where when we were kids, my sister and I would have like these like sleepovers in the house where it would just be us and we would. I mean, it all goes back to pizza. I'm realizing
it does, dude.
You know what I mean? Pizza is
as well as it should.
Goat. Yeah, exactly.
Dude, pizza is that's dude. If even the kids that you're not even friends with, you became friends with them over pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's just the day.
It's a great equalizer.
Those Blockbuster nights are missed heavily.
Dude, do you remember the pizza commercial with the kid? He was like, it was when Pizza Hut was giving away like basketballs and it was, hey, punk, want a game?
Yeah.
Dude, I wanted to be that kid just to get the ball so bad.
Do you remember going out to Pizza Hut and being like, we're ordering pizza here. We're sitting down.
You're asking
at this
a former
restaurant.
Fat kid if he didn't remember. Dude.
Likewise.
Personal pan pizzas, baby.
Yeah. Likewise.
Oh,
I mean,
my God.
Giordano's, of course, is the.
In Chicago?
Goat for me. Yeah,
oh, really?
Yeah. That's Southside pizza. But I just feel like, I don't know. Yeah. I just, pizza and movies to me and that family aspect, like, I've always wanted to make movies just like that. And, even my Uncle Frank, he would bring in like film noir. So he'd be like, here's Laurence Olivier.
Whoa.
And like, here's like the Maltese Falcon. So all of my things when I was a kid were these like super heavy movies, you know? And then for me alone, I'd watch like anime where in a way it's just like a grittier Americanized cartoon.
Totally.
You know? I mean, they're Japanese, but.
So big family?
We're really small.
Yeah.
Like, it's really just the four of us. I mean, now I just got a nephew, so.
Oh, dope.
Yeah.
You're going to love that, man.
He's cool. Yeah,
it's
inspiring, too. It makes me want to be like, oh, let me really build on this. So when he can remember things.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, he's like, oh, that's the cool uncle. And I'm like, yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about you, but like now I'm thinking about you and I've just been cool. Like,
oh, yeah. It's the
I'm
best.
Over here like, grind so you can be cool.
No, what I've gained out of the uncle game is like, it's been a great when I go home to Seattle. I just put all, it's my break from the grind in the business. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's things that are always going to keep you busy wherever you are. But,
of course.
But I'm able to like go up there and be like, all right, cool. I'm going to take them out for the day, whether it's the park or swimming somewhere, even just like kicking it and trying to do something that's keeping them off their gadgets.
But
it is also, it makes me understand why people are having kids, because it's like, you know, now they're, the girls, twins are 11, nephew 6. And just to kind of like get on their level, and it's just like an immediate takes you back to that time. And like showing Harry and the Hendersons is my nephew's favorite movie. Not because he believes in Bigfoot and thinks it's based on a true story. You fucking psychos out there. I don't know if you believe in Bigfoot. We can put a pin in this story. I want to believe in the idea of Bigfoot, but hey, man.
I always want to believe in the idea.
Dude, and guess what? I do. I want to believe that fucking John Lithgow, there's a guy out there who actually did hit a fucking Bigfoot. But
yeah.
I mean, if we would have found him, we would have found him. But then I also play devil's advocate and go, well, look at the show Finding Bigfoot on A&E. Those are the guys that we're trusting with the tools necessary of actually tracking them down. These guys that are like, you know, look like they got nothing but time, and that somebody like told them there was a lot of money at stake. Like it's some sort of, you know, rat race show. But I digress. But being around kids definitely like, I don't know, man, it's a nice boost of like keeping your kid alive, which I think you got a shit ton of, dude. Even when we met just hooping, it was like, you're out there smiling, just fucking, which I feel like is always, is that kind of synonymous with who you are?
Yeah, really. I mean, I don't know. It's so interesting too, how much I can feel sometimes some people want me to be, you know, different from what they see me as. And I'm like, honestly, it's the closest to who I am, as well as like the energy I love to get, you know, like, oh man, even though I would love to play a role like, you know, Joffrey or whatever, I feel for that kid now that I'm seeing how just people react, how they see you, you know, knowing that they go up to that kid being like, I hate you with all of my soul. Like, you know, every day growing up, that's so hard. People are like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, hey, what's up, man? You know, and I mean, I love that every day, really. But I've just kind of always, you know, I wanted that, you know. I think all of us have had, you know, hard times in our lives and stuff too. And the older I get, I can also see a lot of things that, you know, my parents went through. I see our friends that grow up. We grow up with our friends. You see the good and the bad that happens, just life in general. And, you know, things are always hard. I'd rather give some positivity and just, you know, have that energy around than anything else, to be honest.
Who kind of instilled that on you? Or was it just kind of...
My dad. I was a really shy kid.
Oh, really?
You know? Yeah. I was a shy kid always, and I was really quiet. And so my dad was... every now and again, he'd be like, it's kind of weird that you're like this quiet. And I'd be like, it is? yeah. But I mean...
So you don't fucking talk a lot. What's up with that?
Yeah. And, my dad has always been like, you know, my... my dad, my best friend, you know? So just that relationship, I just kind of grew into being like, hey, what's up? And like, my dad's also kind of like that too. And
he's a real chummy, like personable
guy. Yeah. We really try to stay away from the drama, you know? We just want to just keep everything like light, cool, work hard, and then just, you know, and enjoy those times together, you know? And you know, have deep conversations about, I don't know, he's a heavy reader. So he loves to be like, read this book.
And
oh, crap. Okay, now I gotta read the book.
You got fucking homework. Homework. Wait, what sort of books are you trying to get you up on?
Oh, man. I mean, they're really good, like, self-help books, you know? Yeah. So he's had me read, of course, like, 10 Laws of Power, The Alchemist, Rich Man in Babylon, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Who Moved My Cheese? Like, a lot
Whoa,
of, he loves,
about?
Like, a lot of, it's business-wise, stuff like that. He loves, like, self-help things, like, all of my life, you know, which... When I was a kid reading it, I mean, you're a kid, so you're just like, okay, cool. Like, I'll think about that. Like, taxes, like 10% for yourself, you know? And rereading it as an adult, you're more like, wow, thanks for, like, I mean, it was boring at the time, but like, thank you so much for always being real with me, you know?
And asking me to ask more of myself, interest level wise.
Yeah. And I mean, he just kind of just, I mean, that's just kind of who he is. And I'm glad to get that. You know, I know a lot of people don't get that, and I'm very thankful for him like that. And, you know, my mom is just a workaholic, so I feel like I got that part from her too.
Yeah.
My sister took all the genius, I'll be honest. She's like so smart. It's like, it's painful, you know?
I know, right? When you're just like, fuck, how does your brain work like that? I'm just not that quick.
Like, goodness gracious. I mean, I do come from a family of readers, but I can tell, like, me reading plays is not, you know, as intense as my sister reading, like, all of Lord of the Rings in, like, right? a week, you know? And the, being like, I fluently speak Elvish. You're just like, man, what? Like,
oh, fuck.
I didn't even pass, like, Spanish 101. Yeah. You're speaking words that don't exist. Like, where are you going to use
that's
that, you know?
So funny.
It's, like, so wild, you know?
Yeah. Wait, so your dad then must have been losing it, where he's like, dude, how are you the shy kid, but you have no problem mixing it up with fucking Drake?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, well, nowadays, I mean, it's so funny. I was able to spend Thanksgiving with him this year, even though like everything was kind of locked. I brought him on set too, which was his first time on set. I didn't realize that it was his first time on set with me. He's seen like plays and stuff, but I was very glad that it was like all the stuff with Chris Paul. And like,
is he a Hoops fan?
Yeah. Oh man. I mean, come on, man. Chicago in the 90s. He is there for Michael Jordan.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Every day he'd be like, this man is greatness. So, I mean, yeah, it was just a basketball family. Like, love it so much. So even this is just like,
holy shit, dude. That's extra.
Oh yeah. 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 And so, yeah, seeing him there was just cool. Cause he was like, man, I thought like sets were, you know, 5-6 people and a camera, and then they just kind of do it for like an hour and you're done. And I was like, wow, you thought I was working for an hour every day?
Like, isn't that crazy? The perspective of people so removed from the business is always so crazy to me, where it's like, but as well as it should be, they have nothing to base it off.
You forget that you do it every day. Yeah. So you're just like, wait, what? Yeah. You don't, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, no, it's sometimes takes like 8-12 hours. It could be, you know what I mean? Sometimes the turnaround is like less. You might be like, let's finish it. Let's do the work, you know, and you're doing take after take. You know, the light could be wrong, you know, plane or anything could happen, you know. And so
he got more respect for just the whole experience.
Yeah. It was good. He was able to meet like, you know, Chris and everything.
Did he fan out, or was he just like very try to be cool?
My dad loves to play it cool. Yeah, yeah. But inside, he's like,
yeah, dude. As long as he can. Yeah, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
You appreciate that from the parent. You're like, that you're not being, even though you being on there, and I'm sure, you know, you'd obviously been on the set, but around like, you know, guys like that, you were cool
and comfy. Yeah.
But like, and so you're like, it's not wrong if my parent or whoever's with me does do that. And Chris Paul obviously like has done enough shit to where, and if it's your dad, he's going to be extra cool already.
I mean, Chris is amazing. Like, he immediately came up and was just like, this pops, you know, and he's just like, wow, this is so great that like he would. He knows me.
Yeah. He's like, well, Dad, don't get ahead of yourself. He knows me.
Dad, sit in that chair over there, okay? We got to be 6 feet apart right now, all right? You got a double mask up right now. Chill. It was great moments, and it was awesome even, you know, being able to talk with them too, because, you know, for me, you know, as a young guy, I'm just like, yeah, man, there's got to be more, you know? Like, we'll get this and this, and I see how I need to make things better, da-da-da. And he's like, it's so crazy. I remember you in your first steps. Like, you're still my boy, you know? So seeing you here, like, this is fine, you know? And I'm like, wow, that's crazy because, you watched my birth, you know, to this today.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by 5-4 Clothing and the Menlo House. If you know anything about me, you know that I like clothes. I love to buy them. I love to wear them. That's what they're for. And you only look good if you feel good, right? That's where 5-4 Clothing comes in. I've been fucking with 5-4 Clothing for years now. They got this company, Menlo House, that's got 5-4, New Republic, Grand Running Club, and Melrose Place, all under the Menlo House banner. And it's a baller clothing company for dudes. They've got t-shirts, shirts, jackets, sweaters, jeans, pants, shorts, activewear, shoes, accessories, and more. And what you do is you give them your sizes, okay, your fit and your style, and they curate the perfect package for you and send it to you monthly. If you want to join the club, the Menlo Club monthly, it's $59 a month, and you get over $240 worth of apparel. Again, it's the shit. There's other brands out there and companies that do this, but I only fuck with the Menlo House because, well, they're the best. You know, the clothes always fit me perfectly, and I always get compliments on the jackets, the shirts, just got some new hoodies and pants, and they fit me to a T, and that's what you want in your clothes. So, got a special deal for you guys right now. If you go on over to themenlohouse.com, M-E-N-L-O, house.com, and use the promo code 40MENLO, A-L-N, you're going to get $40 off your first month for your discount package, okay? $40 off the first month. And that includes the Arrowhead button-down, plus the Cali Chinos, and more. So, go to themenlohouse.com, use the promo code 40MENLO, A-L-N, 40MENLO, A-L-N, and get $40 off your first month. All right? Start looking good and feeling good. And you can't do that unless you're in 5'4 clothing.
Do they have trepidations about you moving out here? Because that to me is always such a...
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the first things that I remembered after meeting you when we hooped that that I had like a lot of initial respect for was that you moved out here. And I don't know why, because, you know, I moved out here for school, but still like knew, I had one kind of cousin that I, you know, still unfortunately don't see a ton, but it was like really being out here with nothing other than myself and my shit on my back and my bag and pillow to like in a city that, you know, I've put up on a big pedestal. And like,
of course,
even though I'm there for school and there's structure and I'm going to have a built-in, you know, structure to meet people and how my classes are going to go, still very intimidating. And so, you know, coming out here at all to chase something too is mm-hmm. just like, I don't know, I just like on a real deep guttural like level have such a respect for that, because it takes a lot, man. Like there's, and I'm sure we both know so many people that wanted to or still want to. Mm-hmm. I know people up in Seattle right now that still talk about it. And I'm like, you know, and some of them might be past the time and have more elements that are going to make it tough to like relocate. Mm-hmm. But shit, dude, I don't know. It's like when you fucking want it, man, like, and it's just like you don't have a plan B. You just figure it out.
I know that entire Will Smith like compilation interview on YouTube. Yeah. That's
he's the one that says don't have a plan B.
You know
right?
what I mean? Yeah. And you're just like, but I do think that kid, you know, that moved out here 8 years ago that took that leap, because it's scary to think about even now.
I know.
To do that now is just like, and I remember that feeling, you know, and I remember the days when things weren't working out and, you know, you're having those like breakdowns in your car and you're just like, I don't even have a plan B. Like, I can't even.
Oh, yeah.
I literally can't quit. Otherwise, what am I going to do?
What
you
the
know,
fuck? I know you can't go back because you think about the letting yourself down, but letting the people down there.
You know what I mean? What your family would say, you know what I mean? What I you like, would say to yourself for the rest of your life, you know?
I was always like, I cannot go home if I don't do this out here. So where am I going
to
go?
Yeah. And it gets to a point where you're just like, look, if I just do my best, I'll be satisfied with that. Totally. You know, of course I want the I want it all. Of course. But, you know, after a while, it's just like, man, I mean, even if you were to get it all, what comes the next day?
Yeah.
Like if you were to get best actor like 3 times in a row each year, you know, like, what do you do after that? Do you stop? Like, you know, so you can't even think about that now anymore, you know, and that's just age. Like, I feel like growing up and taking all those like rejections and failures where you're like, look, man, if it comes, it comes. Yeah. But like, if not, then I'm just going to go as hard as I can every year harder, you know?
Did you take classes as soon as you got out here? Like, what was your prep?
No, when I first got out here, I was belligerent. Like, because, you know, I
got caught up.
I was always taking classes. Yeah. Like, I just left school. So I was like, look, man, the last thing I want to do is take a acting class, you know? And then
you got to acclimate to the new surroundings too, right?
Yeah. But I got weirdly like lucky and shocked at the same time, but it was a great growing moment. So I was so Matt, right?
Mm-hmm.
I always heard when I first met Matt, I always
Matty
heard
Rife,
that
Hollywood's Matt Rife. Rife.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Just look him up, or I don't know, look up any.
He's gonna have a special soon
catalog.
Too,
dude. Yeah,
producing himself.
Grinding,
yeah,
grinding, just all the right ways. You know?
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And you have to. I think that, you know, I'm also blessed to have a team like that, or just team of friends out here like that, where it just constantly inspire each other.
For
you
sure,
know?
Dude. Yeah. That's getting to a point to where, and I don't know if this was always the case, but yeah, that's. Also an unspoken thing of
finding
surrounding
the right
yourself.
People.
Oh man, that not only push you creatively and aren't settling, but that, you know, keep you accountable, even if they're not directly calling you out on your shit. Cause everyone's got their own path and lane and zone, and nobody should have to babysit anybody.
Yeah.
But it is cool if you know, are on a same trajectory and striving for similar things that you want to achieve with people. Mm-hmm. Being in LA already, I feel like, is so, and I felt this like 2 years after graduating, even talking to a guy at the mall working at a fucking juice stand who was just like, yeah, man, I'm just starting, I'm in the third, just gotten a third level of groundlings. And I'm like, and even that dude, I could take and like would somehow inspire me throughout the rest of the day to be like, fuck, you're just around this energy yeah. that everyone's going for it. And look, yeah. you can see through the fake it till you makers, and that never works. That's
man.
In every business, but like, there's a lot of people that truly are like, man, I will fucking die for this.
Yeah.
And so it's cool that you got a group.
Yeah. Like and there's some bookers in there. I've even met, you know, people that, you know, are in their hard times. And I think about my first 2 years out here where that's what it was. It was just hard times of finding the rhythm, you know, LA traffic.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
well,
just
nobody
like,
ever gets used to that shit.
Yeah. And it's back and it's like,
it is back.
It's
fuck.
Like 40 Dude, minutes to
how
get
about those
3 miles.
True COVID times of just nobody
just
out.
Just like, sure, man, I'll meet you outside.
Yeah.
Just so
I'm going to go get some cheese from the grocery store, but I'm going to go to Santa Barbara and get it because it'll take me 15 fucking minutes because no one's outside.
Yeah. It's going to be a delicacy.
I know, right?
I'm not going to go to this North Hollywood store anymore for cheese.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was talking
about. Oh, just having a group around you. Good sports system.
And
Matt, you brought up Matt for some reason.
I forgot what all that was before. Forgot it.
You were really going to deep dive into something and I fucking...
Well, it's okay, man. Friends are important.
Matt, you and your fucking muscles, dude. Just Matt, cloud my memory man, just like you do every chick in Hollywood.
Listen,
dude.
Matt and I work out, and Matt, he's gotten good. At first, he wasn't
How
the best.
So?
In my workouts, I've got like we do it no matter what,
yeah.
you know? So even if it's like, all right, we've got 4 sets of 20. Even if we're like dying, it's like, you got to finish your reps, you know? And so that's kind of how, at first he'd be like, I can't do this. And I'll be like, I believe in you. Why don't you believe in you? And so
Jesus,
then he's like, you know, but he does it now and it's great. It's great to work out with him because, you know, he can sling it right back. And I'm like, you're so right. That's the rule, you know? So,
gotta have
I don't
people
know.
To push you, right?
Yeah. You grow. And I think it's great, you know, just meeting everyone on the journey too. Cause I first got out here and there were some fake it till you makers. And you're like, okay, well, they're kind of doing something. But then, you know, your discernment sets in and you're just like, okay, this isn't really the crowd I should be with. And then, you know, you're at least auditioning and then you meet people that are consistently in your type, you know, for anything. And so you're just like, hey, what's up, man? Or, hey, how you doing, man? Or, hey, I saw you book that. Like, yeah, man, it was cool. Hey, I saw you book that. You know, and you just kind of end up watching people work. They end up helping you with your self-tapes. Mm. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm not going for that role. Okay, cool. Like, let me help you with this, And then when you are going for the role and you're doing each other's self-tapes, it's like, look, you just do what you got to do and I'll do what I got to do.
Yeah.
We'll help.
Yeah.
You get no notes.
Yeah.
Like,
so
this is the
funny.
No notes land. Yeah. But hopefully we get it, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you if you need to do another take.
Yeah. there is value too in like just doing that, like in reading lines with somebody and all that extra shit again that's not told to you in any business class or, you know, Hollywood, like, you know, welcome to the city type thing. You were saying, and maybe this will help jar your memory.
I remember exactly what I was supposed to talk about. Because we were talking about classes.
Yeah.
So Matt.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. No. We got no fucking, no. There's no live in ads.
So Matt, you know, was able to connect with some pretty legendary people and get lessons from just through social media and hitting them up, you know, for stand-up lessons or just going with them or being in those, you know, comedy clubs as well, watching them.
Yeah.
And after I first met Matt, I'm not trying to put her on blast.
Yeah.
She is one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah.
But I messaged Viola Davis on Facebook. But I didn't know if it was her or anything because it wasn't like verified. The picture was like, you know, and I heard from a friend. This is like 2013 or something like that, 14.
Yeah.
Like when I first got out here, a friend of mine was just like, hey, did you go out for this part? And I was just like, no. And he was like, yeah, man, have your agent or manager send you out. And I was like, little do you know, I don't have any representation.
Yeah,
no one took me. So, okay. So I was like, man, now I know what's happening, but like, what is it? He like sent me the sides. I was like, oh, thank you. And then I just messaged her and she was like, yeah, I'll send your stuff over. Like, cool, da da. And it was like Vicky Thomas. And I used to watch like old, like Devil in a Blue Dress with Denzel and Don Cheadle, you know?
Yeah.
You can see their audition tapes. So I'm watching Don Cheadle's audition tapes with Vicky Thomas. I'm like, oh man, okay, yeah, cool. I'm like, oh, this is Vicky Thomas. But half of me is like, this could easily be a scam.
Yeah.
Like, half of me is like, I could go to this location and this is the last day of me. You know what I mean? Oh. Thinking I'm going to act. But like, so I'm like preparing, but I'm also like preparing for like, you know, to put it down.
Wow.
You know,
for real?
For my life. Yeah.
For real?
Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't know, you know, and you know how casting offices are. Like, they're like,
come on, man.
Buildings. You're just like, I mean, there's nothing that says like,
also, yeah, dude,
this is it, you know?
And then you have to have that delusion to even think that, like, I bet that was Viola Davis at Reach Back. But
it
maybe
wasn't until I already got in the room and I see Vicky Thomas and she's like, ready? I was like, yeah.
Oh.
I was talking about Viola Davis. You're Vicky Thomas.
Oh, shit.
This is my time. Oh, you know what I mean? And I just come off of like doing like Shakespeare in the Park in St. Louis. Yeah, so I'm like ready. So I'm in that room acting like I'm performing for like 5,000 people. So it's like loud. It's projecting. I'm going at it.
Oh, dude.
She's like,
everything
just talk
film
to me.
Does not need.
I wasn't thinking about film at all. I was thinking about all the monologues and things I've done, you know,
which
on
is all
stage.
You know. So why would you do anything different?
Exactly. Yeah. And then she's like, let's take it again. Talk to me. And I was like, all right. You're cool. Saying give more. Yeah, like, So I'm like,
oh, wait. Oh, God.
Digging in, you know? And then she's like, all right, I think we got it. And I was like, ooh, that doesn't feel like I got it. Like, I've seen enough.
We got it. We got what you brought, which we don't need.
Yeah, I remember that kid booked different, you know, when he did a E.T., you know, who was just like, all right, kid, you got the job.
Yeah,
that didn't feel like that. That energy
probably
wasn't.
Probably because they didn't
say that. Yeah, that's not it.
Oh.
And I mean, of course I didn't get it, but it was one of the best failure moments out here because it immediately took away that chip on my shoulder. It immediately made me be like, oh, I have kinks in my armor that I'm not even aware of. Mm. And so then I started taking, you know, classes just for multicam, single cam. I realized I do better in classes that, they film you, you know, and I can see myself.
Watch the game tape.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of theater is basically like, hey, man, I don't see that thought dropping in. And you're like, okay. Like, I believe I'm thinking the thoughts, you know. But seeing yourself, you're able to be like, I see that moment. And I remember how I felt doing that part, you know, where it's just like I was disconnected and I was forcing something or oh, that doesn't feel like it's just natural and normal. Like, I should relax. Or, the closer to me I am, the better it looks because it's real. Like, get to the point where things become. So, all in all, that was a great failure moment. I mean, I've never really talked about that moment. But,
great. Dude, I love it.
But, yeah, man.
But those are so, and for people watching, man, which are a lot of young comics and actors, like, those things are so imperative to have and go through.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like in comedy, man, they say, like, if you're crushing every time on stage, you're not getting better.
Yeah.
You want to be consistent.
Yeah.
You want to get to a point to where you're just delivering and, like, you're going into rooms.
Yes.
It's a thing of, like, and I've heard, you know, and I want to know what sort of advice you've gotten and what you've now given being on a stage where you have, like, a platform and more exposure to where people do want to, like, know what, like we're just talking about right now, like, what have you done and not done that you think got you to here? But there's so much to be said about, you know, picking and choosing too, the things that people want to tell you, because it's all based on their journey, right? Mm-hmm. And I try to even do that and make sure that I'm really differentiating, like, this is at least what happened for me. And so when I'm telling you, it's not what you should do, but, like, you know, you get advice from some people, you know, that might work for you. Maybe you can take a piece of that. But the idea that I, you know, one rep at one point say, like, you know, because I was frustrated with just getting a lot of opportunities and not
closing it.
Yeah. Not closing the deal. Yeah. And you're like, at what point are you like, and then I've heard some people be like, well, what is it? What are you not doing? And I'm like, man, well, there's always something more. So I subscribe to that. There's always more you can be doing with everything.
Right.
Because I feel like, and this is, again, just going back to me personally, because I feel like, you know, for a good chunk of time, I was trying to do so much that I definitely probably was spreading myself thin and not getting the most out of a few areas because I was trying to do so many. But that idea of, like, building fans, and even if you're going in and you don't get a job that you really want, controlling what you can control and crushing it so that they want to keep you on that short list and bring you back. And even if that thing is a month later or a year later, but you're still staying in their world and getting opportunities to come in again and crush and be consistent and be memorable and just be on those lists to keep getting opportunities and to stay in the game. Right.
Right.
And And then hopefully one of those, you know, pans out.
Because they'll see you coming in those rooms too and like working every day, you know? Everyone sees people working and doesn't acknowledge it at the same time, you know? Where it's like, I've got casting director friends where I'm like, man, you're working on like 7 shows. Like, that must be exhausting.
Yeah.
Like, looking at all these different auditions all day, along with sending the emails out to tell them to, you know, have that self-tape same day, you know what I mean? Or early in the morning, you know? It's so important to keep going. You know, I think that, I mean, you just build those relationships, and then they also know your strong points as well, like what you do greatly and you don't do so much, you know, and then they kind of help guide you. They'll give you more notes because they kind of know you. They know you can take the note, you know, so it's weird that it's like you do have to have a lot of failures just to get to a point where you're like, okay, cool, like, me as an individual, like when I do this, that's what makes me special. Like, everyone has their own special juice, you know?
So you said when you got out here, you were belligerent. You were just what? Trying to just kind of like live in LA and do shit and meet people or what?
No. I never thought that, like, I mean, and even today a little bit, like, I'm all about the, of course, like, networking can work, you know? But I always feel weird if I don't have anything going on either, because it's just like, I'm just hanging out now, you know?
Yeah.
I'd rather just, you know, hang out if we're in the same field and then just leave it at that, you know? And then we'll, like, if our paths cross where it's like we can work, then let's make that organic, not force that.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying this episode. Obviously, it's a very difficult time for everyone right now. We're all challenged in finding a day-to-day routine that that makes our lives consistent and awesome. And if there's something that's interfering with your happiness right now or preventing you from achieving your goals, BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. BetterHelp is a professional counseling service online, private, and it's so convenient. I've used it for a little bit now. It's truly the only way that I've found to help get my own issues dealt with on my own time. At my own pace. You can schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus chat and text with your licensed professional counselor right now. They're specialized in depression, anger, stress, anxiety, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief or relationships, sleeping, which I have a lot of trouble with, trauma, self-esteem. Anything that you share with them is confidential. And guess what? If you're not happy with your counselor for any reason, at any time, you can request a new one for no additional charge. There's 3,000 U.S. licensed therapists across all 50 states, available worldwide. And again, there's 4 ways to communicate with them: text, chat, phone, and video. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. It's available on any desktop, mobile web, Android, and iOS apps. Schedule a video or phone session, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more. Unless you just are really not sleeping and need to get some additional chats in. There's broad expertise in the network, which may not be locally available in many areas. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. It's secure, it's convenient, it's professional, and above all, it's affordable. All right. It's truly the most affordable option I've found. So right now, all ALN listeners are going to get 10% off your first month with a discount code About Last Night. So why not get started today and start making some changes for the better in your life? You deserve it. So go to betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help them assess your needs and get matched with a counselor that you'll love. That's betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight. Betterhelp.com/aboutlastnight and get 10% off your first month with promo code About Last Night. And now back to the episode.
But when I first got out here, I was like, okay, I need the agent, you know? And I would just get like a bunch of headshots, you know? I was in my car and I like almost every week would go to the same 12 agencies and just like drop my headshot and resume off. Like, if I didn't get it in like a month or two or whatever, I would go again. I was like, I'm just going to bang on this door every day. And I got maybe one interview and it was still like, all right, maybe we can see something for you, da da da. I mean, then again, my look was different and stuff like that. I also didn't have those classes either, so everything
well,
I did
white.
Was all
people
theater.
Don't know you were white. Yeah, and yeah. You changed your look to black, yeah, and that's when you started booking.
Yeah. That's when I really got busy, you know. But
dude, I did the same shit, by the way.
And wait, what?
No, I was black. I went to white. The same thing of pounding on doors and dropping headshots off.
Yeah,
because guess what? Again. When you come out of school with and you're trying to build something out of nothing and there's no real rule book because, again, every path is different and no one really is trying to help you.
Yeah.
That's the other thing you realize. You're just like even any sort of agent you might have gotten right out of the gate, unless you are fucking, you know, Margot Robbie, Kutcher, people that got discovered.
Those are those golden people that you're just like, wow.
They saw the dollar
signs.
That was
your first audition and you booked.
I know, dude.
Man.
Never had to
more power
struggle.
To you.
Yeah,
bless.
For sure.
Like,
and those things do happen enough to where I think it's why people do come out,
of course,
hoping for that opportunity to just get discovered. But
and it keeps people like us going too, because we know that okay, well, if I'm putting this energy in, there's got to be one day where I strike gold. You know, just because they were like, oh wow, oil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I keep digging, then there's got to be it somewhere for me too. You know?
Because you said you dropped off like 12 headshots and you did get one. So the fact that you were like,
I mean, this is like a full year though. Like it wasn't like I was dropping them off and then like, hey, what's up? It was more like there was nothing.
What
going
were the pictures? Like what was
man,
your? Were you just
oh
like,
my god, it was
totally
so
it was,
bad.
Was it fucking like that? Like what were you? Were you sending the wrong message?
It was super simple stuff that I got in college and not you know really you know putting anything down, but it just wasn't professional, you know. How they are now,
of
like
course.
How they it sometimes it's glossed, you know. I mean, it's got like it's like, man, he looks good. I see it in his eyes. You know,
quality
this
matters.
Was just a regular like
Polaroid.
Headshot photo, you know, where it's like it's okay, the background's a little frosted, but the colors are just not headshot material, you know.
Was your pose just
like
were you just
clean
mugging?
I was always clean shaven,
you know.
I always had the fade and like that's okay, you know, but I've got kind of a baby face too, so I've got like a baby old face, you know. It's not like a
old baby face.
It's like we know you are above age, but we don't believe that you're your age, you know. So
we feel like that beard can be peeled off.
Yeah. I didn't even have that yet, you know.
Oh,
so
wow.
this is no beard Kev. And it actually was when I was just like, man, I just have to do something different. Like I got to take classes. I think like it would be cool to have a 5 o'clock shadow. I think it would be cool if I had, you know, a little bit more hair, you know, I mean, a little closer to like an afro fade is cool, you know? And just like, you know, every day or every week, like things would change. And I would just honestly kind of accept and do any and everything because I had nothing. So I was like, sure, I'll go and do, you know, that little skit over there. Or I'll go and I'll be an extra on that, you know, SAG New Media project. You know, I was just trying to be acting,
be on set.
Just because it was killing me every day not doing that after doing it for so long, and then like food running in my graduation suit and living in my car and also being like, I have no family here, so there's no one to like be there to be like, I'm with you, you know. It's just like,
well, the voice is in your head when you're sleeping in your car, I'm
you
sure
know,
kept you company.
You know,
how long were you in your car for sleeping?
Really just a couple months. I mean, it's not that sounds funny, but there were some people that were alumni from my school, and they were staying in a place that like opened up, and so then I was able to move in there with them, you know. But it was it's always a process. And
take me real quick just through those 2 months. What I mean,
man, I think I was the most stressed, really.
Yeah,
like I can't even I can only say stress, but it was also like my choice too. I had a friend that I studied some theater in London for a little bit.
Me too.
Summer class.
In
with
the fall,
Regent's College. Nice.
Regent's Park is where our school was next. It was a British American Drama Academy, the BADA.
Wow, I literally, I was at Regent's College, so we were probably like this.
Neighbors.
Wow.
Camden Town was right below.
Yeah, man.
Tried to buy some weed there, got fucking robbed.
I mean, you got robbed?
Oh, yeah, dude. They were like, me and my buddy were so stupid. We went out there way late night. We'd walk down there to go to pubs, you know, before post-class. You had that great, I mean, there's a Tower Records there, and it was just a cool strip of shops and little restaurants, right?
Of course,
and that whole area ruled in the park. And
majority of people there are fun, too. So that's why I'm like, What?
Well, we went out late night, and these guys would walk by, and they go, "We'd cook ecstasy, we'd cook ecstasy," and we were like, "How about that first one? What's up with that?" And he's like, "Oh, come around the corner," and he's like, "All right, now give me how much you have," and we're like, "Oh, we've got like, I don't know, 70, 80 quid. He's like, "All right, that's perfect. Now, give me that. I'll go around the corner. The weed's going to be right over there. I'm going to go around the corner and get all the weed and I'll come right back. You stay right here." And we were just like, dude, that sounds like this checks out. This sounds like a great.
Wait, that's checked out?
This sounds like legit.
Dude, I'm like, come see me in the light.
I know. It was.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, we were just so.
Rookie mistake.
Dude, I mean, you look back, you're like, it just none of it adds up. Like, give the money, you leave, we'll stay here. So, I mean, of course, 5 minutes go by and we're just like, dude, we're going to get weed, dude. This is fucking. And then, you know, 10 minutes and you're like, he'll come back. I think, well, you're being negative, dude. You're pessimistic. That's your style, though. But I'm optimistic and I think that guy's a good guy and he wants us to get high. So we're fucked. And we
do 7 a.m. Okay. Rives.
Yeah.
I think he's digging it up right now. No.
Yeah, had to go somewhere.
Man, yeah. I think the only thing I didn't like was the fact that in the summer the sun came up at, you know, like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
So it was so weird to be like, sucked. Man, I don't like going out because I feel like it's 9 a.m. Yeah. now, you know?
And wait, so you went
now
there
I feel
for
like my day is there.
A summer?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Summer. Yeah. It was,
dude, so
it was
you're
cool,
a true
man.
Thespian.
Yeah, I mean, I try. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I try. I just wanted to, you know, I just don't want to look back and think I didn't try, you know what I mean? Or tried to give my best. And also that's kind of the stuff I was shown as a kid, you know, all these people went from theater to the film, you know? So I wanted to follow that same path and, you know, really go for it, you know? So, I mean, from a young age, I was like, oh, if I want to be like, you know, Marlon Brando or Sidney Poitier or Denzel or Viola, any of them,
yeah.
Like they all did theater first and that's what I should do if I want to really grow and be to the place where I want to be. So,
so you start getting acclimated to LA, right? Like you get out of your car, you get to this place.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
Sherman Oaks.
And then you start.
Yeah, I got Sherman Oaks saved me, you know. the valley.
Is there an elevated sense of like, here we go, when you're able to get out of your car? Because was there a point too where you were just like, man, I might have to like ride this out?
There really wasn't a here we go until I booked my first national on my own. That was the moment I specifically remember. Like,
what was that?
It was McDonald's. Yeah, they called me. I think it was. I mean, honestly, it was right when Nothing Was the Same dropped. So I remember it so clearly because the day of set, like I'm listening to the first track, you know, wow. I'm just like, you know, start from the bottoms on that track. I'm like, you know, I'm just
dude.
Like, this feels so for me right now.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I remember going on set, you know, like doing the fitting and everything. I kind of finesse life for food. So that's when I did, you know, P90X3 and like the test groups. And, you know, they give you the food there. They teach you how to portion control and work out. So I was like, cool, that's settled. You know, all I have to do is just act now. I've got the food. I've got the workouts. I've got the job. And then I've got the dream. So,
wow. Life for food. I love that. So you were doing.
Both, yeah.
So break that down for me.
So in a test group, you know, you kind of have to be there for an hour. You know, it was at Beachbody and you take pictures every day, but they really design a meal plan for you with the workout, which was P90X3 with Tony Horton. And it's just 30 minutes a day.
Wow.
So you're really only there an hour to like take the pics and then just like be like, all right, I'm going to, you know, stretch my body or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just for 3 months, but it just taught me a lot. It actually really helped clear my mind. You know, those endorphins for working out just helped. Having good, clean, you know, food in my body too, you know, not being like, all right, I got to take from the restaurant I work at, you know?
What you did too.
Huh?
What you did too.
Yeah. You have to, you know.
You
but when
to.
I was doing the test group, I, you know, I always want to go 100%. So I wasn't cheating on those meals at all.
Oh, good.
So after that, you know, booked McDonald's and everything. And
huge, by the way. McDonald's National?
It was cool, yeah.
How
it
many
was,
more
it
eyeballs
was super cool.
do you need? I mean, that's like...
Yeah, it was like a McDonald's Xbox, like... collapse. I think the new Xbox at the time came out or whatever.
Wow.
And they were advertising those games. I was like, I'm an Xbox man, like, you know. And
what were you doing in the commercial?
So all of us went out for the lead, the guy that like actually says the lines, but then we were broken down into like the lead's friends, so then like five people ended up booking.
Cool.
So in the commercial, all I'm doing is a burger bite. And I'll never forget, the director was just like, whoever does the bite definitely gets seen, so you're gonna do the bite. And I was like, okay. And they're like, do you know how to bite and smile? And I was like, sure. You know, I didn't know how to do it.
You didn't know.
I didn't. Yeah, I was just like, I'm just gonna bite and smile. And so, like,
because by the way,
I'm in a commercial. He's like getting up. He does a speech, and I'm biting, being like, what? And then, and that was it. Pretty much it. From the cutting of it, because before we had like a little like war thing. We were all in like Spartan suits or whatever, because they were advertising this game called Rise. Mm. I never played it, but it looked like Sparta. Yeah, you know. But yeah, that time was great, and I remember being like, oh, this is gonna be amazing. And months went by and I was like, man, that check is taking a long time.
Was my bite and smile ever. Like overbite and extra
is
smile?
Is it coming out? You know? And
Right.
But I mean, yeah, it came out, it ran for a good little bit, and I mean, yeah, from there, it just taught me, like, hey, look, when you get something, like, genuinely don't stop, because everything stops when you do, you know? But that's the moment I specifically, to this day, remember, like, having a moment of triumph. And it took, like, you know, a year and a half, 2 years. But there's a lot of learning in those, you know? Like, I had to learn to be like, okay, so this is the commercial, this is the TV, this is the multicam, even this is the... You know, like being on stage, and you kind of got to separate a little bit. Or for me, I had to separate a little bit just from my training and stuff. But yeah, no, that was super exciting. And then, you know, there's some moments where it would take a break, but I was definitely more like, okay, well, if I'm submitting for me, then I'm just going to like every day wake up and just like be the first one to submit. So I'm one of the first ones in, that they see, you know, because they get like pages of it, you know. So if I felt like if I was late on submissions, then they wouldn't see me first, you know.
So take me through that, because people, I don't know if they're aware that they're, there's a lot of, these are all non-union gigs, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Until you, I mean, up until, you know, McDonald's, then it was hard, because then it was like, they're not bringing me in.
So non-union gigs, probably quite a few more, and these are people who aren't in SAG and aren't paying the dues to be up for maybe bigger jobs, but there's so many.
I mean, you got to show what you can do. You know? That was the biggest thing, is that they were just like, so you've done all this theater, but we can't see that. You know, we don't, like, so what are your credentials?
Right.
You know?
So there's a lot of, like, central casting sites, and I mean, dude, I remember, like, all of, I was on, like, Actors Access
LA Casting.
And just, you put up
casting
a picture.
Casting Frontier.
Or a bunch of pictures, Casting Frontier, and going to these buildings to, like, re-up stuff and turning in new pictures for them to upload, and maybe a little reel for them to put on, and hopefully you try to do a bunch of, you know, student films and other sketches, and some guys that have some good shit to tape a little couple scenes to put on there for people to have, and there's a lot of damage to be done on those things, but you are competing with probably way more people than, I mean, I don't know what the numbers would be like versus at that time, like, you know, going in for SAG jobs versus non-union, but I feel like there's a lot more people that were in those boats of like, I got no reps and I'm just trying to be my own agent. So good on you to be waking up being like, I want to be the first person they see submitting for these things. You're going through all the breakdowns. You're being like, all right, cool. Here's like, you
I
know,
can do this.
Yeah, this,
I can do
this. This breaks me
this
down.
This is cool. This is cool. Like, I was also being like, if I don't go out for this $400, someone else is going to get this $400. Oh, so, so just wild.
Was there one job you went in for that you remember that was like, because I've got commercial horror stories as far as like being hungover for an Olive Garden commercial, wearing like a sport coat with like a Reading Rainbow t-shirt, and the guy's like, hey man, small talk before we get into the lines. And so I just be like, I was like, man, they better bring us some breadsticks. I'm going to fucking puke. And the guy's like, cut. Man. And he's like, so, like, not from real life. Like, let's just do something about you guys are friends. Like, I don't even know where that came from. I was like, yeah, I was just trying to be funny. And I am actually very hungover. He was like, great. I can tell from your outfit, but like, for sure, like, just talk about friend stuff.
Yeah.
So then it could go cut again. And, you know, sometimes just the, you know, and the performer in you comes out because you're like, I need to carry the weight of this moment. And the people that I've been dealt with weren't as chummy as I maybe wanted. So so the conversation was stale. So I remember the guy being like, oh man, like, did you guys see how hot it's going to be this weekend? I'm trying to go to the beach. And I was like, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, man. Melanoma is real. So like, if you're trying to get skin cancer, like Jurassic Park 2 is coming out too.
Hey, you guys,
like, please, why don't we have someone else talk? And why don't you just sit there and enjoy the food? I was like, it's not even here. We're supposed to treat this like fucking Hook and just imagine that the food's going to show up.
Hey, Hook goes hard.
Yeah, so, Hook goes hard. But so, you know what I'm saying? So that was definitely a learning experience. I had a point to that. What was I bringing that story up for?
We were just talking about non-union auditions.
Non-union,
you know? Yeah. There was one time, I've got a non-union moment, and I've got an experience too.
Please.
So one of the moments was super weird because it was a callback, and they brought everyone in.
Someone's like, "What are the odds that you could take her downstairs? Is that for real?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, dude, that'd be fucking huge."
And we can just keep rolling. Oh, that,
yeah, she was given those vibes.
You know, and there's the spot where she's been going to pee. It's been
right out to the left, and then there's that little like almost like raised up flower bed, just because there's like dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, big time. I fucking love you, dude. Thank you so much.
Great dog, by the way.
She's, yeah.
A dog that will tell you instead of just going it.
I got to stay here. You go. 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 And if she's not going, you say, go potty, Pickles.
Okay.
I love it. Thanks, doggy.
Yeah, no, that's clutch. My dog's like that, where she's just like...
Yeah, it's big time. She's only a little over a year old, but it's like...
Oh, nice.
That's
better, yeah.
A big... I mean, you know, I don't know. This is... People say, oh, if you have a dog, it's a start to like... How you going to be
baby.
With kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I'll joke in my act where I'm like, I'm going to be a terrible father because Pickles will like be eating herself out in public. And I'm like, hey, Pickles, stop licking your hoo-ha. And then she'll turn to me and go, but it's so good.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, all right. 2 more minutes, but just don't look anybody in the eye while you're doing it.
Man, that's so much time. Two minutes?
You can get a lot done in 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But so then I go,
more minutes.
I go, I'm going to be a bad dad because if like I'm at Thanksgiving and my son teaches himself how to blow himself,
oh, man.
I can't fully confidently trust that I'm going to be like, stop doing that.
Yeah.
Don't make this the last thing your grandma remembers, you know, but then he's going to be like, but it's so good. And I'm like, all right, again, don't look anybody in the eyes.
Look anybody in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it. We've
all been there, man.
I mean, you're Ray kid.
You're excited. You know? You're Ray. You're Ray. That's all you're doing.
You're
being you.
Yeah.
Wait, how long have you had a dog for?
It's my mom's dog, so I've only had her for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's like 8 years old. So, I mean, I got her super prime. I mean, I remember her, you know, first being picked up and stuff. But
extra thing to be responsible for and kind of keep you.
Yeah, keep you sane. Yeah. I honestly think she's good luck, you know. It just.
Oh, whoa.
It just, yeah. There's just moments where. I mean, yeah, things get hard and you're just like, you're just having someone excited that you're home, you know, is just like, hey, you know,
dude.
Like, oh, what's up?
What a crazy feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
Cats don't give you that same vibe, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they give you you're back. You know what I mean?
Like, well, look who it fucking is.
Yeah, look at you. I was looking out there. You weren't around all day.
yeah.
So, I'm doing this today. Like, oh, come hug me.
I know.
They're just like,
love, and they want to give love.
Unless it's a naked cat.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so
cat's naked?
My friend or Joey. Joey has or Joey's sister Kelly has a naked cat. I mean, it looks scary. They look like aliens, you know?
Oh, they're like shaved off. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're bald. But if it's just a little bit cold, they're the cuddliest things ever. And if you got a little scruff, they'll rub up against you because you're scratching them. But it feels like the cutest thing because they'll purr and they're like, you know?
And
you're just like. Yeah, come on.
Maybe I am a cat guy.
Yeah. But only a naked cat. I've never seen that from any other cat.
See, even the purr is like, should be a cute thing, but it always, it
sounds, scares you?
It's almost, doesn't scare, and I don't want that documented. We'll edit this out. But no, it does. Kev's like, you fucking scared of a cat?
Are you scared of kittens? Bro. Like, same.
No, dude, that's where we really bond. Like that stepbrothers
that's
moment.
The thing that
that's
ignites
amazing.
This night.
No, I just think it's like, it's almost like rattlesnake-esque where it's just like, I'm like, what are you plotting? It sounds like the plot. The purr is a plotting. It's like, what are you? It's not a cute, like a dog, like Pickles whining right there to have to go take a pee was even that was
it's
cute.
Informative.
And the bark is like, there's a purpose.
Yeah.
The purr, I'm like, I don't trust you is when I hear it.
It does feel like an innate thing they can't control, but a bark or a whimper is like, what's the message here?
You know? Totally.
A purr is like, so you like this? But I'm kind of afraid if you switch up, you know? Because sometimes they go through there at night where they're like attacking nothing and they're just like so intense and you're like, man, I hope they don't come over here or think it's on my shoulder.
You know
what I mean? They're running through the house and that's weird.
Yeah.
So
like, I don't know, the cat scratch. I've been, you know, maybe I've been traumatized by my sister's cats too.
Oh, being scratched by a cat hurts.
Yeah. Hurts.
I was bit by a dog when I was a kid.
And wherever. Oh, really?
It took me a long time to not have like a fear over dogs for a while.
Whoa.
It actually took my mom and sister having a dog for me to be like, all right, this is chill. And then Matt having a dog for a little bit and being like, man, wow, yeah, all right, okay. So now I see dogs and I'm just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And it just let me know, like, okay, cool. I was just holding on to that really bad experience. Like, it was like a German Shepherd and a Rottweiler I've been bit by. So I've been like, was like, dogs will do it to you. You know, like,
those are two,
like,
of the...
Those are beasts. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But now, I mean, it's really like all love. I was, you know, I was a scared shy kid. So that dog probably was like, hey man, you being weird. And then the dog's like, agreeing with my dad. Dude. Looking at my dad like, what's up, man? What's
you find out your dad hired those dogs to bite you to help break you out of your shell.
See, I told you, man, you being weird.
Dog's going to bite you. They pick up on that energy.
Go get them.
Yeah. Do you think you'll get to a point to where you're, well, let me ask you this. With your, with some of the new checks you started to accumulate, what was your, like, your first me purchase? And I don't, you don't strike me as someone that's an impulse buyer,
no,
or a or someone that's gonna like live outside their means.
Yeah,
but like, come on, man.
I feel like I've got a boring answer of what my me purpose was, or me purchase was, because it was definitely,
well, just
off
the fact that you slipped
loans
and said me purpose over me purchase lets me know you're not already buying anything cool. My me purpose. All right, dude. Tony Robbins over here.
All right, brother. Yeah. Look, you already talked about that.
You're successful.
Earlier.
You work out. You're on fucking TV every 2 seconds. Yeah.
No way. Yeah. Get out of here. It really, it was just buying or paying off my student loans.
Okay.
Because that was super crazy.
Yeah.
And then,
well, that's a good answer.
And then, I mean, you know, Christmas came around and I was happy to, you know, give something, you know, nice to everyone. Like, even though everything was away, shouts to Amazon, you know, you could that for $5.99, you get that gift bag, you know?
Yeah.
And I was writing, or not writing, but writing like this.
Hilarious.
Now, as Santa Claus. And that was just like the best thing, to be like, read the letter out loud, you know? Clever sometimes with my family, you know, on the gifts.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just cool to have a moment like that on Zoom,
that's,
you know?
Dope,
so that was definitely the best, like, thing. And it wasn't like wild things. I didn't, you know, get my mom, you know, Rolls Royce Cadillac.
Not
you
yet.
Know what I mean? I didn't.
Well, so I mean,
but I mean, yeah, just simple.
Was
simple,
it the first time you were able to do like a
full
family?
It was the first
family
time I could be able to give something sentimental to every single one.
Whoa.
Multiple things that go with each other instead of being like, I'm doing my best, like, and I
this
want
is
you
what
to,
it is.
Yeah.
Or a card, and, or I got you next year, or
you know,
sometimes
you
can't.
Yeah, there's been Christmases that, you know, the broke Christmases sometimes are the best ones, because what you can do is you just make a vision board for your friend. So you just do that, wrap it up, and it's kind of like I gave you everything, you know, you take out the cardboard and you see, you know, I cut out your face and put the mansion or the Rolls Royce in there, because I want you to be able to look at these things and be like, yeah, or, you know, put an Oscar or Emmy, you know, you just do it for your friends. You know, it's a, you know, that's the broke Christmas. But
you gave out vision boards for Christmas?
Oh, yeah. My friends have done that before. If you have no money, it's the best. It's like the cheapest, most like loving thing
genuine
you can give. Yeah.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. You know, who hasn't been standing in the wine aisle, just staring at the shelves like a dum-dum? Do you want a California red, or maybe a white from Oregon, something organic, something with flavor, just a really nice label? It's intimidating. It's overwhelming. It's embarrassing. People are like, dude, does that guy even know how to pick out beverages? Thankfully, there's First Leaf, a better way to discover wine at a fraction of the price that you'll find in any store. First Leaf is a fully customizable wine club. That's pretty cool, being a part of a club that has to do with wine. I've never been in a wine club, but now I am, because First Leaf sends curated boxes of wine that are perfect for you. And they have more award-winning wine than anyone else. With First Leaf, there's no guesswork, no misguided recommendations from an employee who doesn't know what you like or what they're even doing on earth, and there's no frustration on your part. Each wine shipment is entirely customized to your unique palate and preferences. Unlike big box wine memberships, First Leaf uses a one-of-a-kind algorithm and your feedback to curate future wine recommendations. The more wine you taste and review, the better the shipments get. First Leaf works directly with the world's best winemakers, not only to find the best wines available, but to pass the savings on to you, the consumer, saving you up to 60% off retail. The convenience of First Leaf is what got me hooked. Again, like, I tell them what I like. I like a little bit of a sweeter Chardonnay, a little bit of a more, you know, just thicker-based Pinot, a red that's got a little bit of a bite to it. They get all that going for you. So look, save time, money, and stress with First Leaf, the wine club designed with you in mind. And I meant that to rhyme. Join today and you'll get 6 bottles of wine. Holy shit, 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. All you got to do is go to tryfirstleaf.com/ALN to get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping. That's 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 and free shipping at tryfirstleaf.com/ALN. And now back to the episode.
When you got no cash, truly, the creativity,
arts and crafts will help you out.
Arts and crafts, but you got to step it up and you got to think outside the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pickles has returned.
Pickles has returned.
Dude, you're the fucking best. Nope. It's huge. Did she go?
Yeah.
God bless you, dude.
Not very much, but she did.
Dude, where she went, Pickles. What do you say? All right, dude. Thank you so much. Big time. Yeah. We're talking about
arts and crafts.
Arts and crafts and the broke Christmas. You have a broke Christmas?
Oh, yeah.
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 Every year.
Yeah.
And is there a present that you have gotten or given during the broke Christmas where you're like, this is as good as I can do right now, but I want to show you that I'm thinking of you, mm-hmm. but right? Other than the card or longer hug?
Yeah. I mean, I've been like a nice purse.
Hop on the mic.
Like that.
Is the mic on? Can you hop on it?
I can turn it on.
Yeah, turn on.
Hop on the mic, man. 1, 2, 1, 2.
I think you said a purse you gave?
What?
Yeah, I've done near the expensive side of like a purse or like a piece of jewelry, but not like too much out of my range, you know?
Yeah.
But take me even broker than that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because we're talking
take
arts and crafts.
Take me to the times of no money at all.
When you're
if you gave something, it would just be like, this is the end of my life now.
Yeah.
Like a handmade card with like a coupon for a free back rub.
Or yeah.
Free
back rub. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, by the way,
Groupon, yeah.
Free back rub coupons. Like, I mean, yeah, I remember I gave my mom those as a kid, and like, I doubt she ever cashed in on them. But it was like, by the way, like, cut to me in therapy just being like, my mom forced me to give her back rubs.
And oh,
like,
man.
Well, we actually have a bunch of coupons that she sent us to show that you're full of shit. But those, like, yeah, the IOUs or the, you know, like,
giving IOUs for holidays.
Oh, dude, I did that to my sister all the time. Like, where I was just like, I fucking got you. I got no money. It was like, and even when I started to make money, it was like, but now it's, you know, they're fine. But, yeah, those times are, make these times even more special. So it's like.
So much.
So, like. But probably also make you even more frugal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you say you're not. I mean, if you see a nice pair of shoes, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to treat myself because I know you like to, like,
I mean,
ball. Like, that's not something that you're.
Well, see, I used to be like that. Like, growing up and not having any of the, you know, Jordans or anything, you know, you're just like, man,
get one yourself. Like,
you know, especially in Chicago, and everyone in Chicago knows, like, you will be roasted on your. Just
like,
everything, you know what I mean?
Oh, Luke man, Longley's?
Going through it, and you're like, all right, well, my game is finding your soul in your weak points so I can roast back, protect myself, you know?
Yeah.
I'm a shy, weird kid, man. let me live, you know?
Yeah.
I'm doing drama club, but I got to play football. Like, leave me alone. So, I mean, when I started really getting those commercial checks, like, from... you know, from McDonald's and all that stuff, I was like, oh man, okay, cool. Well, I've always wanted the 4s, the 11s.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So once I, and then, you know, a couple, you know, hype beast things too. But once I got all the things that I wanted, it kind of just like got to, oh, cool. You know, I've got all the shoes I've always wanted. And now like, all right, no one really cares unless they're a sneakerhead too, you know? And then it got weird to only ever talk to sneakerheads after you get some cool shoes where you'll walk around like, yeah, man, I'm, you know.
What you think, yeah.
Everyone's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you're like, oh. But a sneakerhead's like, yo, wow, how, you know. And but, I mean, that's just a culture in itself. So once that happened, I was kind of like, well, you know, I mean, you know, there's some shoes that I like. And if I can get it for retail, I'll get it.
Yeah.
But if it's resale, then I'm like, I mean. Paying $2,500 for shoes is not not me, you know,
because
I know it went for 180 or 220 or, you know what I mean, or 300. Like, I just feel like the Back to the Futures are $35,000.
No, they're not.
Yeah, resale. Yeah, $35,000.
Get the fuck out of here,
dude. Yes. Yes.
I will.
Yes. And I would love to be Marty McFly, but
come on,
not for $35,000. You know what I mean? That's so much can happen for $35,000 for some shoes. It's wild.
I went to Comic-Con one year and saw this kid running around. He had a movie poster like stuck in his thing. It said Black to the Future. It was a real smooth black kid decked out as Marty McFly.
Sweet. Nice.
And he like made his whole shit. But like, I mean, everything. He wouldn't tell me how much it all cost, but like, it. But he just I mean, was he like the shoes, everything?
Was he future Marty McFly, or was he like the first? You know,
the first one.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Cheaper. Because that jacket, that kind of.
But he spruced it up. He did. He did what a cool black guy does. It's just fucking made everything better.
Oh, man,
let's be honest. Everything was cooler.
Man, yeah. So yeah, I mean,
what is there? How many people? Perception is like so much too of like what we do, right? Where it's like
true.
I'm talking about people thinking, you know, early on, like I was saying, when I go back home and I don't see you on this, so how do I know that you're like doing it? Is there first of all, have you had people reach out to you from the past, good and bad, that you want in your life to you know, throw you props during this time? And then two-part question. Do you feel, is it making it more easy for you to like seed out the, because I think it happens with anybody when you start to get success and exposure in a certain avenue,
right?
Then you go, oh, cool, I'm getting like a really easy dose of like real, not real.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think the pandemic has really made me, you know, lucky just to have a taste, just because it's, not a lot of things are open, you know what I mean? It was a slow growth of that too, you know? But it also heightened it because a lot of people are at home. So people reach out, but it definitely hasn't been on that, you know, scary part where you're just like, whoa, you know? people reach out for good and bad, of course. But I know I kind of have really, there's very rare malice with anyone in my past too, so everything has always been good, even from, you know, elementary, where it was like, you know, there were some people that were, you know, just jerks, but you know, really going off to LA, that was already squashed. So now it's just like, thanks, man, you know. Thanks, we squashed what we had, and, you know, hope life as well.
Yeah,
and then that's it. People just reach out. I mean, I wish I had some like amazing stories, like where it's just like, yeah, this person reached out and was like, hey, man, like, you know, let's get a yacht, you know, or something, you know, but no one's doing that to me.
Yeah.
Everyone's pretty much just like, hey, can you FaceTime me? And my grandma loves you. And I'd be like, absolutely. You know what I mean? Like, oh, man, I always want to do that just because, I don't know. I'm still Kev, like, I still, you know, I have my fan moments, you know, too, where I'm just like, man, I'd love to chill with them, you know.
Totally.
There's also a lot of expectations in our art too of how you're gonna treat someone or who you're gonna be, you know. And because people see you so much, everyone has the expectations of like, we're gonna be best friends because I know you, you know. And and honestly, like, you know, I mean, that's fine to me, you know. Like, I want to at least make a moment special if we, you know, link up, or getting even the courage to say hello. Like, there's so many people that I'm like, you know, they're a star that I like, you know, that I'm just like, to get the courage to be like, hey, I just want you to know, like, I really love what you do. Can I get a picture? Like, that takes so much.
Yeah.
So for someone to be like, nah, man, you know what I mean? Like, that's going to kill them all day, you know? Or like, oh, I don't have the time. It's like, no, man, I want to take those moments and, you know, make it special. Who knows? I don't know how long it could last for me either. Mm. So why would I abuse that or be stubborn and be like, nah, too cool, Like, I've never been like that. No, man, let me talk to the grandma. Like, you know, grandma, what's up?
That's my demo.
Yeah, you know, that's my demo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just,
a healthy approach. And by the way,
I haven't been tired of it, you know? I know some people later are just like, you know? Yeah. But they're bigger than me, so I'm still here, and I'm just like, man, it's cool to have just good energy around, or even when people are just like, hey, like my nephew or my friend's kid or da da da, like, it's just cool. Calling them on a birthday, like, that's just cool, you know. I wish I had more time to do it all. Really.
Oh yeah, well, and it's only gonna get more so. I mean, by the way, the commercials are always on like the big sports things too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know that, like, dude, fucking, you know. Like Brad Pitt, Obama, like Sandler. I mean, Jen Aniston. There's probably some fucking ballers.
Wow, I didn't even think about that. But yeah.
Yeah, dude. Why not? Like, and it's, and the commercials are always so dope, and they're getting like funnier, and yeah, they're bringing in more bigger people.
Yeah,
once Drake popped in, dude. Drake was, well, the one with Mahomes and who was?
Aaron Rodgers.
Yes.
Man.
That was crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Drake, Aaron Rodgers, and Paul Rudd. Don't forget Paul Rudd. Yeah, Adrian, dude. Martinez. Yes. Like, all of them, yeah.
I mean, was that like a fuck, like, I extra be on my game day? Or,
man,
or
it was a bit
or
of,
they're
a
on
bit
your
of both.
They're also on your turf a little bit, right?
And also, there was that thought, too, because, you know, they're great in their field.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, well, Adrian and Paul, like, they're, you know, greater, yep, in,
yes,
the field, of,
yes,
course,
yes,
you know? And honestly, you know, Aaron Rodgers is a great actor. Like, let's not even play dumb to that.
Don't sleep on
Aaron's
it.
Great.
Yeah.
Patrick is great. You know what I mean? It's just like, Drake is great.
Yeah.
Like, everyone has acted before. So it was just really, I was trying to find a way to, you know, be focused and locked in, but also to really enjoy that moment. You know, I know how hard it was, especially during COVID, to even make that alone happen. Like,
yes,
there were so many factors where, you know, State Farm, TMA, and, you know, Drake's team just really worked together to,
yeah,
get it to be that in the end.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it, you know, came out to be what it is, because before it was going to be so separated or something, and, you know, they made it where it's like, hey, we can be in it together, and it can be, you know, funny, and we can have our moment too, you know, instead of it being like everything's just thrown out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and Paul came through and it was great, and he just, you know, did a bunch of takes, and watching him was funny. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, it was
puts on a
so wild to be able to be like, man, I'm such a fan of you, and we're kicking it today. Thank God I got this mask on, so that way, you know,
yeah,
I look cooler than my face is like, you know, but
yeah, yeah.
In reality, I'm like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
You take the mask off, Paul's like, dude, I
yeah,
remember,
yeah.
Were you the bite and smile guy
yeah.
in the McDonald's commercial? Is that fucking...
Like six years ago?
I'll never forget that, dude.
Wow, man, yeah.
I eat burgers differently now because of you.
Wow, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You really inspired me. But no, yeah, man, it was crazy experience. Yeah, so we had to film the first little bit in Austin, and the second bit in like New York, like 6 months apart.
Yeah.
You know, so it took a lot, technology wise, filming wise, bringing the crew back. The crew was amazing. Like Bob Richardson, he does like all Tarantino films.
What
so honestly, those are the commercials that you see. You know, Parker promo, all that.
Yeah.
That you see that now, and just working with those guys was more like I am getting the best acting class
yeah.
today,
oh, yeah.
you know? And also seeing how, you know, relaxed things could be too.
Yeah.
Like, as actors, we definitely take things so heavy of like, perfection is
yeah.
what I think about and should feel, you know, instead of like, they're capturing those moments that we don't even notice we're giving off, you
yeah.
know? And they become gold because they were so real
yes.
and people just want to see like real stuff.
Yes.
So, you know, even being able to like, improv with Drake for a little bit was just like,
yeah,
man, this is
break.
This is crazy, man. This is my favorite artist, you know, of all. There's so many moments in my life where it's just like, wow, literally since high school, you know, there's just been like moment after moment, you know, where he's just had these drops of great music and great, you know, mantras to say that I've used. So to be here today at this time with you, man, it's crazy.
Did you tell me?
I just feel, I couldn't say that. You know what I mean? Like,
fuck,
one, I wanted to get the work done. But two, like, you know, it's
you'll
also.
Have another chance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, of course. He knows it. I mean, he knows it. He knows it.
You swap numbers?
We've had enough time to talk. I swapped numbers with the team, but I didn't swap, you know.
Yeah.
It's album mode. You can't be.
No, dude, you're
I know
right.
we talked about it. It was one
wrong.
Of those things where it's just like.
Also,
like,
if
I'm trying to be the most professional I can
totally.
Because we also are in the arena that I honor so much.
Yeah.
And if I'm definitely blessed to be with people that inspire me in all these different fields,
yeah.
like, I don't want to fan out too much.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, you never want to be the dude that's like, ah, hey, man, hey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, hey, get to the work, you
yeah.
know?
And you'll know when that, those moments kind of show themselves when it's
yeah.
like, and by that I mean like, you know, him seeing another commercial or getting to do another one or reaching out to you on Twitter. There is a way he can contact you. So he knows that. And even if you want to go through his people or invite you to a show or bump into you somewhere.
Yeah.
Like,
I think like I'm at the place where like I understand he's got a lot of work. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, and especially being honored that it's just like, man, you were able to spend hours with me, like that alone, lifetime of like, I'm chilling, you know? Especially while you're trying to make an album, there's so many expectations with that, you know what I mean? There's so many things that he has to do. So many people count on him. Like, I mean,
so he was
I'm
generous
just here to
on
listen.
Set, like, chilling
oh man,
it up.
Cool dude. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We had our talks, we had our laughs. Like, we definitely had to, shorten our spot because it was like, hey guys, so we only have 30 seconds and you guys alone right now are doing things as like 26 seconds. so how can we,
you're like becoming really buds like, and like, that's cool and everything. And like, Kev, especially cool for you. Like, definitely fucking let me be your plus one. But like, but also like the commercial shorter. So
it was,
like,
it was great. Everyone else was so funny because they're just like, Drake. But then me and the director, Eric, we're like really good Drake fans. Yeah. So like, every now and again when things would settle, they're changing lights or whatever, we'd be like, yeah, so what's up? Like, yeah,
dude, that's fucking shit. I'd be cool. Look. Yeah, yeah. Here he comes. Shut up. Hey, what's up, man?
Yeah, man. So I think I'm going to come in like this. All right, cool. You know, like, it was
that's amazing,
definitely one
though.
Of the best times. Yeah, yeah. I loved working with those guys and them. You know, Future the Prince was there and Matt Babel was there. So it was like, it was like a dream come true, definitely being able to, you know, meet the team and do something that I genuinely love. Oh, yeah. Like, I would have hated to try to meet them at like a party or something in LA or, you know what I mean? Or something that feels like, you know, where it's like you got to, you know, really do a lot to stand out or put on a show or, you know what I mean? Like, I love that it's like, nah, you got to see me not only in my element, but you got to see me in a calm space. Yeah. Like, I do best in calm spaces.
You do.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I love to dance. Like, I mean, that's
oh,
just,
shit.
Yeah, man.
You gonna
yeah,
drop that
course.
On me at the end of the pod?
Come on, man. You know, you got served. Like, that's my genre.
Whoa. Have you tried to float this out to the State Farm people? Do they know fucking Jake can break it down?
They do. They do. Okay. I've done some dance spots a little bit for the internet and everything. Yeah. Or no. Oh. Yeah. Full on. Yeah. There's been like music stuff and everything. And I've been like, all right, well, you know, I do a little bit. That's... You can't give away everything. You can't give away all the moves. Cause then who are you when when everything goes out. But
dude, that's amazing. Cause you do, as they say, use everything that you got in your tool belt at some point.
Yeah,
so it's like,
I'm just trying to build more too. You
think
know?
About it. There could be some dance off State Farm
and
spot.
I got to represent, you know,
but
I
it's
can't
you
lose.
Versus like, I mean, just think about some of the,
I can't go against Omarion. So I'm not that good. That I'll be honest.
But that's why the spot would
right
be
here.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm saying right here.
Digitalize me doing a backflip because that's what I would do if I could. You
For
know,
real?
Right here.
That'd be your move.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
The funniest thing I think I've ever done is like ruin a dance circle that's been amazing and go in there and like, you know, you do some pop culture moves, but then you like... You load up like you're about to do a backflip because everyone's like, whoa, and you don't do the backflip. You leave.
Like, quickest way to
you're
disappoint.
Just like, nah, and then you go. So then everyone's like, man, but if you did it, it would be phenomenal. So in their mind,
leaving them with
you
the
did
idea.
The backflip,
yeah.
But you didn't do the backflip.
Dude, that's going to be my new fucking
Those knees.
Move.
Do it. Yeah, do a couple cool moves. So get everyone invested like, oh, what's he going to do? And then be like... Like commit to the to the load up.
So my problem is people see me load up and they're gonna be like, he pulled something. He's got to take a shit.
You just gotta like really watch parkour.
Yeah,
and then just like copy them and then just only get down.
Okay,
and then just
pop
smoothly
up,
go
and
up
just...
and act like it's not the time. Yeah, just look and be like, nah, it's not the time. You know, I get paid for this. Like, you just make it look cool. Walk off.
Can you walk off or can you like backward shimmy out the door?
Don't
like...
backward shimmy out. Right. That's going
to
ruin everything that you did.
Left, but I think it's, no, yeah.
You definitely, look, yeah. every dance
everything.
Move is you. Yeah. You got to be you. So,
I've got three moves tops. So,
and
I mean.
Just use the two and then like load up and then be like, and then when they want to bring you back out, then you do that third, you know?
Yeah.
You got to really compartmentalize your dance moves.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Leave them wanting more. Right.
One more. Leave and think. Leave thinking.
Leave them thinking.
You got more. You know, like,
dude.
And you just couldn't give it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? I was going to ask you for some advice. That's the fucking, that's the advice to end
that's
on,
my
dude.
Advice that's incredible. Now, leave with them thinking you've got more, you know?
It's not bad advice. It's not bad advice. And then figure
out
what
that. You gave your all, you know?
But figure out what that more is the next time they ask for it.
Boom. And that's growth.
Dude, this was awesome.
Yeah, man.
We'll do it again. Where are you on social media if people want to get at you?
Yeah. Instagram is Kevin Miles and Twitter is at one Kevin Miles.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I just got my Twitter verification the other day. I was like, dude. I saw it, come on, yeah. Muzzle Instagram top. Isn't messing
fucking
with that.
Cheers,
thanks, man.
Dude.
Yeah, water
Look
and
you,
coffee.
Man.
Boom.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Get that check.
It felt kind of sweet,
fuck
you know?
Yeah, dude.
It was
I
one of those
care.
Moments
you
I was like,
it.
Oh, yeah. Because at first, you know, I'm like, I feel pretty verified in real life. People are just like, hey, man, you're you. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
But having it where you see a little thing by your name is just
still cool.
Cool.
Still cool, especially because you come up in that era and it's like you've been out seeing. And it's like an extra, look, this business is all about mini victories and little, you know, confidence boosters.
Yeah.
So fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep doing you. You're crushing it.
Thanks,
and,
brother.
I
likewise.
Feel like I feel like it's just like, what's really cool too, man, is that like, you're such a great dude and you got all the right tools and pieces and like on and off stage. Like you're consistent.
Trying.
And it's like, I don't know, man. It's cool, at least for me, and I don't know shit from shit, but to like watch, you know, how good you are in these spots and go, oh man, like I know that it's like the stepping stones to other shit that's going to come your way that you're prepped for, you know?
Yeah,
And all this stuff we talked about prior to really getting like some of the fun exposure you get now, it's like, had you not done all that and gone through that, like you're going to like be gangbusters through the wall, Kool-Aid style when you get like these next opportunities. And that's
I hope so. Definitely just always trying to put my, you know, best foot forward for it, you know?
Yeah.
But I do feel so ready, you know? I'm glad that it happened now sometime instead of earlier.
Totally.
Just because I'm older and, you know, I calm down in the idea that I want LA to be and more about like, who do I want to be? So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Fuck, I wish I had a mic to drop it.
Oh, man.
Fucking yeah, there it is.
That was the grossest mic drop. Mic. There it is. Kev out.
Hopefully Drake does not see this. Good night, everybody.